You've got your dial tuned to 590 WKZO, or you might also have your computer tuned to WKZO.com and the Listen Live function. Either way, you're in tune with Lawrence and Taylor. I'm Jeremy Lawrence. He's Roger Taylor. And over there is Michael, the almost bald wonder producer.
Ooh, you got the wonder producer.
Yes, of course. Well, I had to get
it
all of
it. It is your day, yeah. You know, his title is gaining length day by day.
It does, you know. It does. I would have an explanation for that, but, you know, there really is no explanation for Michael. So
soon it will take the whole hour to read.
That's his dream, that he can take over the program just with his title. So,
yes.
Sort of makes you glad he's not here every day of the week, because then we can actually have a show.
Yes. We're the warm-up act for our producer.
There you go, of course. Well, speaking of our producer, he informs me that we got some traffic, so it's a timeout for traffic with Michael.
Yes, this came in from our texting service. A listener let me know that traffic is stopped at mile marker 86 on westbound I-94, so an alternate route would be suggested for you travelers coming home today.
Okay.
And during the news, Michael did a little research and confirms that on some levels, both you and I were right on the number of responses.
Okay.
There were like 3.5, in that there were 3 responses, and the fourth one that I remembered was not an additional response. It was a Spanish translation.
Yes.
And so there were like 2.5 men. Well, there were like 3.5 responses. So we were both right.
Or we were both horribly wrong, which is what usually happens, is we're both horribly
wrong. No, in this case, I think we both sort of came close. That's about as good as we ever do.
All right. Well, that brief kumbaya moment.
Just ended.
Yep, it's all
over
now.
Yes, it did just end. So, by the way, if you'd like to be a part of the discussion as we talk about, we've been talking about immigration and John Boehner and the president and various things, you can be a part of it. 382-4280. Or 877-382-4280, or you can text us at, Roger?
80373.
And we've had people doing that throughout the last hour or so, so you would not be alone if you decided, you know what, I'm going to text these idiots and tell them why they're wrong.
Yes, or right.
Or right. Well, you know, they would do
that. That will never happen.
They would do that if it was me, actually.
Yeah,
so, you know,
right.
But if you missed out earlier, basically what John Boehner had said, as he said, that he feels like it's going to be difficult to get an immigration deal through until he can see and congressmen can see that President Obama is serious about enforcing immigration law.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about specifically? What enforcement activities does Boehner want to see before we're going to be able to move ahead on this issue? Has he ever explicitly laid out what he needs to see the president do to begin the negotiations?
I'm scanning the story here, not seeing it in the story. Doesn't mean he didn't say it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they summarize these things. One of the things that he talks about a little bit further into the story, and this is a story that's in the Washington Times today, he talks about how the president... you know, they're saying, well, we're reaching out to the president on some bills, and he's shown very little willingness to work with us on some things. Points out some bills that are in the Senate, and they're just kind of languishing there. He says the Skills Act, the research bill, a couple of other bills, says the president could reach out and work with us on those and begin the process of rebuilding trust between the American people and his presidency. Those are the words of Speaker John Boehner on that.
Those are bills associated with working out our immigration problem?
These are bills that he sent a letter to the president outlining, saying, you know what, you talked about some working with us. Here's some bills sitting in the Senate you could work with us on and detail them. I don't know the details on the Skills Act or the research bill or any of that stuff.
Just so they may not have anything to do with immigration.
They may not. What John Boehner is talking about is let's build some trust here. Let's build some avenues of working back and forth. And I think he's saying one of the things that some people want to see is, you know, Mr. President, we need to see you enforcing existing immigration law, which there are Republicans saying he doesn't do. Now, in addition to all of this, the other side of that we were talking about is – there are Republicans that are saying if John Boehner moves immigration reform forward, that he could very well lose the speakership. Because obviously after the election, they got to figure out who's going to be speaker. And if you recall, Speaker Boehner got reelected very, very narrowly this last time.
Oh, yeah.
Just after the election. So, and I remember at the time going, ooh, that's trouble. He's going to have some trouble leading there. And that it feels like that's the case. So we've been talking about some of that, and we certainly are welcoming your calls as we talk about it.
If the president has to prove his, what's the word I'm looking for, that he's responsible, why would he negotiate with John Boehner, a guy who provably can't deliver the House of Representatives? We found through a number of processes that he really doesn't have control, especially over 50 or so Tea Party radicals in his party. So why would the president want to jump over the hurdles to prove to Mr. Boehner that he can be trusted when Mr. Boehner has already proven he can't be trusted and they can't negotiate and come up with something that will happen, that he can't deliver his own party?
Speaking of leaping, there were several leaps of logic there, but let's go through this. First of all, there are people in the Tea Party that would not call themselves radicals. The Tea Party, the
that was
main,
my choice of words.
Well, that's your choice of words, and that's fine. It's your opinion. The Tea Party's basic aim is saying, look, we're taxed too much. And that's the bottom line. That's what a lot of them are saying. Now,
and what does that have to do with immigration?
Let me finish. Let me talk, because you asked a very long-winded question. So let me try and get through this as best as I can. You start asking, who does he deal with? Well, here's the thing. The president's job description is that he works with Congress. He's supposed to sit down with them and work things out. And guess what? It's not always going to be easy or fun to sit down and work with Congress. We've seen that with this president. We've seen it with previous presidents, previous administrations, previous leadership in Congress, both parties. The bottom line is he needs to find ways to do it. If it's dealing with Boehner, so be it. If it's dealing with Boehner and someone else, so be it. Whatever it takes. I think the American people want to see both sides sit down and say, let's work this out. Let's do something positive, instead of one side saying, well, we're not doing anything, and the other side going, I'm going to do something illegal anyway. I think the job description is the president is required to sit down and deal with Congress, whatever it takes. However it whatever form it takes, you sit down and you do it.
Why does it always seem that the inability of the Republican Party to speak with one voice is the president's problem? Why isn't that a problem for the Republican Party?
Who said it wasn't a problem? The bottom line is the president is the leader of the country, and as the leader, you got to sit down with people that may not agree with you and say, all right, how can we hammer this out? They're not seeing that from the president. Now, there's as much problem on the other side, but since you like to bring up the past so much, let's look when it was flip-flopped. How often did Democrats unite behind one person so that President Bush could talk with them? There's factions in the Democratic Party as well. So it happens on both sides. You can't just point and say, well, it's all Republicans.
But we're talking about immigration now.
Certainly.
And you've got Republicans saying, if you do anything, we'll remove you from speakership.
Certainly.
And how is that supposed to encourage the president to negotiate with somebody that if the president is successful, his own party says they're going to remove him from the situation? How is that encouraging the president to sit down and talk? If you do it, we're going to pull our guy out and replace him with somebody who won't negotiate with you. How is that the president's problem?
Well, it's the president's problem because it's the president's job description to sit down and work with Congress.
But it's Boehner's job to lead the Republican Party. He is the majority leader.
He's the Speaker of the House. He leads everybody.
Let's just focus on the House then. It's his job to lead Republicans in the House of Representatives, something that he has shown himself incapable of doing. And how does that encourage the president to sit down and negotiate with a powerless person who, if those negotiations are successful, will be removed from his leadership role by his own party?
So I say let's sit down not only with him, but with others. Let's sit down.
Who?
In fact, let's sit down everybody, not just the president sitting down with John Boehner. And not just the president sitting down with people in the Democratic Party. Let's sit down and have a powwow amongst leaders, a lot of different ones, and say, all right, what can we do? What can we hammer out? Let's pick people that are on the far left, that are on the far right, that are in the center, and let's work it out instead of deciding, well, we only need two people for this negotiation. There are a lot of different opinions in America. That means there's a lot of different ideas. So let's sit down and combine them.
What other leadership in the House should he try to negotiate with 400 representatives?
It's his job.
It is not.
It's his job to work with Congress, is it not?
Yes, but Congress has to have some leadership.
So
he can't work with 400 different voices. There has to be some meaningful leadership.
So the president is so inept, he can't work with 400 people. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying
you can't. He can't work with 400 people.
A point in every direction.
That's his job.
No, it isn't.
That is his. Oh, it's not his job to work with Congress, apparently. Okay.
It's his job to work with Congress, but not every individual in Congress.
Oh, because that's so much work and it would be so tiring.
Oh, you're being silly, Jeremy.
Well, you're flip-flopping on the issue. First of all, he is supposed to work with Congress, but now he's not working with Congress, and that's not his job. You've just said it both ways in the last 5 minutes. Which one is it?
Jeremy, you're...
Which one is it? No, I'm asking.
You're putting words in my mouth.
You
and
said
you're
the words.
Not the way you're interpreting them.
You said
I said
the words
it
right
is
here.
His job to work with Congress,
yes.
But not with 400 individual people all pointing in different directions.
That's Congress. Welcome to it.
There needs to be leadership within Congress, There's no effective leadership in the Republican Party. So the president is left with nobody to talk to.
Other than the Speaker of the House,
who should he negotiate with?
There are more than just one or two people in Congress.
Give me an example.
Now let me talk. Speaker
of the House, who else should he negotiate with?
What I just said earlier. I said let's sit down with everybody. And let's not just talk Republicans or Democrats. These are American problems. Let's be Americans first. Let's sit down, all of us, and say, all right, what can we do? Sit down with Boehner. Sit down with Pelosi. Sit down with some of the Tea Party leaders as well. Let's talk. Let's have a legitimate discussion instead of sitting here posturing and blaming each other.
Well, the Republicans say that if the president negotiates with Boehner, they'll remove Boehner from office.
No, that's what they said. They didn't say. They said immigration. And I say, you know what? Let's talk to some of those people. Let's bring them in and say, all right.
You're just being silly.
Oh, I'm just being silly because it means we got to sit down and actually, come up with a compromise or something. That would be unprecedented in America. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry's on the line. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Hey, so actually Roger's a little wrong. The president's job is not to work with Congress. His job is to enforce the laws of the land that Congress makes. And he does a pretty poor job of that overall with regard to immigration. His administration has, neglected enforcing immigration law. And if you ask people that are ICE officials, immigration officials, they are begging Congress not to cut a deal because it's horrible down on the southern border.
So then there's no need for Obama to negotiate with John Boehner on immigration because we don't need immigration reform. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, what we need, why didn't you enforce the laws? You know, we just neglect them. And, oh, that's a huge problem. And, you know, I even heard in the State of the Union the president say, well, the economy is doing so great, yet we need to extend unemployment benefits. And because it's so great, we need to flood the market with 20 million more individuals by making them all legal status. Am I missing something here? The economy is so great, we need to extend unemployment benefits. Yet the only way the economy is going to grow is by introducing 20 million more people into the economy that are all going to be looking for jobs. So how does it work?
What 20 million people are you talking about?
Yeah, clarify what the source is on that.
Yeah.
Well, the president in the State of the Union address said that, you know, we need to grant legal status for the 20 million people that, you know, the number that's being thrown around that are here illegally.
Oh, but they're already in the country. This isn't importing 20 million more people. Like the governor wants to import people for Detroit from foreign countries. You're talking about the 20 million people who are already living here.
Right.
Oh.
So those people are already here.
Yeah, illegally. They're already here.
Illegally. So the first act as a country of laws, you know, that we propose that we're a country of laws, is to let people that broke the law stay. Am I correct? And that's your understanding, Roger? That's what you want?
I'm not understanding at all what you're saying there.
Well, okay.
I think you're talking about the idea of amnesty for people that are illegal immigrants. Is that what you're
correct.
Saying?
Okay. Correct. The idea of amnesty is that people that broke the law to get here, get to stay. Right?
Yes.
But
that's what the concept of amnesty would do, yes.
But if we were enforcing the law and stopping people from crossing the border illegally, would we have a need for comprehensive immigration reform or whatever they're calling for?
If we didn't have the 20 million people living here? If they weren't here, would we need immigration reform? Is that your question?
Yeah.
Yes. If they weren't here, we probably wouldn't need to head down this road. But the fact is, they're here.
But you're right.
In a perfect world, they wouldn't have been allowed to enter the country, and we wouldn't have this issue. In a perfect world, you're right. But the bottom line is, we've got 20 million people here. What are we going to do with them?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the reason that they're here in the first place is because they get a lot of free handouts. You know that the Department of Health and Human Services in the United States spends money sending representatives down to Mexico to talk about how they can get on Medicare and welfare and everything else when they come to the United States?
No, I've never heard that before, only from you. But let's get back to, what do you think we should do with the 20 million people who are living here?
Well, I think the easiest thing is to find whoever's hiring them. Because a lot of these people have the same repeat Social Security numbers. It's pretty easy to find.
If they're illegal, they don't have Social Security numbers.
Wow. Getting a Social Security number illegally isn't all that difficult. We hear about identity theft all the time.
I hate to interrupt, but Jeremy's giving the we've got to move on signal.
We really do. We got to get to a break here. But, Jerry, I appreciate your call today. Okay, we continue on. You know what? Ruth is on the line. We're going to try and get to her here after. We'll see what kind of time we've got, but we're going to continue the discussion. Immigration is what we're talking about. You could be a part of it. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can text us at 80373. Lawrence and Taylor, continuing ahead. Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO, and as promised, we are going to get on the phones right now with Ruth in Kalamazoo. Ruth, quickly, if you could.
Yes, 2 points. We have Speaker Boehner because he's the one who's supposed to get his people together, and he's supposed to speak with the president for them. The president's not supposed to speak to all of the people that the former person said he should speak to. The second thing is, if we're going to send back all of these illegal people that are in the country, which is just like punishing them, even though they're doing a good job, they're not criminals, we should also punish those employers who employed them and encouraged them to be here because we needed them to work for cheap labor, doing the crops and any of the other jobs that some of these big corporations have illegally employed them. I guess that's it, because I know I have to be short.
Well, Ruth, let me ask you a brief question, if I can. If you're saying these people have done nothing wrong, what do you do with the fact that they've come across the border illegally? That's kind of the definition of doing something wrong, isn't it?
Some of them were born here, and their parents brought them here, and so they have done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm,
the children
mm-hmm.
that are going to college and are trying to improve themselves, and I say that it is not... It sort of blemishes my picture of this country. My parents were immigrants. They came from Germany. They came the legal way, and they were successful here. And they didn't have to do the lower-type jobs because my dad was a skilled machinist, and they were very happy to get him into this country.
Okay. So, all right. Well, Ruth, we do have to run to a break, but you know what? I do appreciate your call today. Thank you so much.
When we come back, we've had some texts we'll share.
Sounds good. We are the masters of air guitar, at least some of us are. Lawrence and Taylor here on 590 WKZO. And Roger, we were going to talk texts because we've had several.
Yes. Let's get to the bottom here. Tightening border security is issue number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a long history of not taking care of our borders.
Yes.
Years and years of...
And presidents of both parties.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
We can agree on that, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. There's plenty of blame to share in not fixing our borders.
Mm-hmm.
One that has most concisely given me some insight into Tea Party people.
Mm-hmm.
Tea Party logic is also that we have existing immigration laws that aren't being enforced. So any more legislation and government programs are just a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, I may not agree, but I understand the logic there at least.
Well, and the interesting part of that idea is that, you know what, there are things that are not being enforced by Obama, that weren't enforced by Bush, that weren't enforced by Clinton, and so on and so forth, that, you know what, we've passed all this stuff, but we haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thought is, why not try that and see if it actually works? And, you know, and I think, you know, you and I, and we can talk about this here in a little bit once you get through the rest of the text, but we can talk about maybe some different ideas for solutions to the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
or at least a start.
Sure. One says by a party leader, that's who is supposed to be negotiating, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, I don't know what they're referring to, just says, you got it, Roger. I don't know what that one is about. We've talked about a lot of things. I agree with them, obviously.
Yes, of course,
but I don't know what they're talking
That's
about.
That's not surprising.
Roger, sure. Yes, I do. Okay.
I don't
I
know.
Got it.
I don't know what I got, but I certainly nailed it.
Didn't
I?
They were complimenting you on today being the member of the team that has the most hair.
Yes. That's right. If it's hair they're thinking about, I got it.
Yeah, that's because I shaved most of mine away.
That's kind of, you know, because Michael said just yesterday, hair today, gone tomorrow.
It is interesting that the oldest guy in the room has hair. And I got more hair than you young whippersnappers.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. But, you know, I give myself a little shave every day.
Okay. Do you shave every day?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I absolutely do.
I don't even do that to my face.
There are some parts that need a little more shaving than others. I'll say that. But,
there's some parts you can just skip right over.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, one thing, though, that, and I think this comes down to where people of different persuasions, different ideas. I mean, Roger, you come at things from the left side of the table. I come from the right side of the table. And I think the thing that we can agree on, as you look at the way that immigration has gone, illegal immigration is what we're talking about, that there are certainly things that have not been done in this country that should have been. Border security is a great example. There's other immigration laws that just, they have not been enforced. They've just not been touched, whether it's through lack of funding, lack of attention, lack of ability to do the job, whatever it is. So I think what it takes here is not necessarily the approach of, you know, John Boehner saying, well, we're not going to do it unless you do this or that. I think it's the approach of saying, let's all sit down, all of us, and come up with some ideas. Now, it's a complex problem because we've spent 20, 30 years not doing what we should have been doing. And that goes on both parties. So we've, first of all, got these people who have been here for the vast majority of their life, save maybe 2 or 3 months because they were born in Mexico or born somewhere south of there, or for the very few Canadian illegal immigrants we get, maybe they were born up there. The point is they were born someplace else, but they don't remember it because 3 months their parents brought them here. Somebody like that, America is their home.
Right.
And so, you know, for someone like that, we need to be able to say, all right, we've got to come up with a solution that works there for them and works for people like them. And that's something where I say, all right, we sit down and we come up with ideas from both sides. And I think the other part of the whole ball of wax here is to look at legal immigration, what works with it, what doesn't, and how can we streamline the process. There are people that want to come here. And we're a country of immigrants. And I say, you know what?
Pluribus unum.
You know what? Bring them on. Yeah. But let's do it the right way. And let's have it streamlined so that it doesn't take you 3-4 years of waiting in line to get here. If you want to come, there are jobs available for you. Guess what? Come on. We'd love to have you.
As you point out, though, this is a really complex issue.
Absolutely.
And many corporate entities have lobbied for and been given certain exemptions to give green cards to people with very specific skills that some businesses need.
Certainly.
And so think of all that's going to have to pack into that room. You're going to have corporate interests. The example you gave is people who were born outside the country but were brought here as a very young child.
Sure.
Different are those young people who were born the day after their parents made an illegal entry into the country, and our Constitution says they are immediately granted citizenship.
You're born here, you're a citizen. That's what the Constitution says.
And what do we do with families like that? Here we have a U.S. citizen who has undocumented parents, do we leave them, do we make them orphans because we deport their parents? Do we force a U.S. citizen to leave the country with their parents against their will? This stuff is really complicated. Well, this isn't going to be easy to do.
And, you know, it all comes back to the idea that our leaders were not serving us well by saying, here's our laws, so we're just going to ignore them, and we're going to ignore our job to protect the borders. Now, what's done is done. That's why it's so complex to begin with. You know, and I think this is not, and I, maybe I'm wrong on this, but you know, it's 2014, it's an election year. We know there's a lot of pressure on both parties. We want to win seats. We want to do this. We want to do that. Or we don't want to lose the Senate on behalf of the Democrats, because that's obviously what they're focused on. Maybe this is something where we go, you know what? We can take this and look at this in 2015. The election's over. We got it settled as to who's going, who's sitting where. Now we can sit down. Now we can talk about this. We don't have the pressure of an election sitting over us. And by that time, Republicans might have a stronger leader to be able to represent them in the House, which I can agree with you. It's not an ideal situation for Republicans because Boehner is not a strong leader. He seems like a nice guy. I wouldn't mind going fishing with him, but I'm not sure he knows how to lead.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think maybe that's the time to say, you know what, that's when we're going to sit down and we're going to come up with something that's common sense that works for everybody. And, yeah, not everybody's going to vote yes, but if you can get a vast majority of people bipartisan support for this, you know, bipartisan not doing what they were supposed to is what got us into this. I think bipartisan is what's going to get us out of it.
Where's the money in this? The only way you get attention from Congress is if you've got money to put into their reelection campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
How does money flow from the immigration situation? How can Congress get money out of that? Because that's the way we're going to get Congress to do something.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be motivated, and money is what motivates them.
Mm-hmm.
But is there money in the immigration? I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know.
That's
either.
The only way we're going to get Congress to do anything is if somebody buys them.
Well, that's a very jaded viewpoint, but I certainly understand it, Roger. Let's go to the phones here. Rob's on the line from Kalamazoo. Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you this afternoon?
Can't complain. Roger won't let me.
Yeah.
Excellent. I guess my question is, or my concern would be, all right, number one, Ronald Reagan had an amnesty program years back. He allowed a bunch of illegals to gain amnesty and enter the country legally. And then Bush, during his administration, lobbied for NAFTA. Clinton signed it. And today, I don't know what the argued number is, 10 to 20 million illegals who are essentially either working as day laborers or working in an underground economy. Should you make all them illegal and they become above board workers, you're still going to have the clamoring that you need that cheap labor. We're still going to have the problem south of the border. Mexico is extremely corrupt and a dangerous country. So if we go ahead with immigration reform, where are we the day after? The mm-hmm. problem doesn't go away. Mexico is still Mexico. So where are we?
And Rob, I think, you know, the other point of that is that if you're encouraging, you're going to give amnesty to people that came here illegally, you're going to be encouraging a whole new wave of it that people are going to go, oh, I could just go there illegally and they'll make it legal.
Well, exactly. And I think this is a perfect example, the slippery slope of picking and choosing what laws you enforce.
Mm-hmm.
For years and years and years, we've been extremely soft on immigration. And I'll be honest, I don't know where we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't, because I don't think that once we've dealt with this current wave of illegals, and Mexico, of course, is the popular whipping boy because that's where most of our illegals come from. Once we've dealt with the issue today, once again, the problem is still there tomorrow.
So, do you think it's possible to seal the borders of the country?
I don't necessarily think it's 100% possible to seal the border of the country. They've gone so far as to tunnel drugs into the country.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dealing with illegal labor in the country, I'm a pretty simplistic guy. I'm not opposed to saying you'll spend 1 to 5 years in a penitentiary if you knowingly hire or house an illegal alien. Why not? I mean, if you knew that if you hired someone illegal or if you knowingly housed someone illegal that you were going to jail, I would bet there would be an exodus because these people would have a hard time finding work.
But aren't corporations who benefit from that cheap labor, aren't they going to be lobbying and stuffing money in politicians' pockets to keep that from happening?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely they will. And I fall more to the conservative side of the aisle, but I will tell you that honestly, I think one of the lobbies that has benefited a great deal from immigrant labor has been the farm lobby, and the farm lobby has done a fantastic job of selling the idea of the American family farm, which the American family farm is practically non-existent anymore, in my opinion. We have more large corporate farms that deal in multiple millions of dollars
mm-hmm.
than we have family farms in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
like I say, I don't have the answer. I probably have more questions than answers. But my concern is that, like I said, if we gave amnesty to everyone that's here today, tomorrow, we still have the same problem south of our border. And until those are dealt with, and I don't know if we repeal NAFTA, I don't know what we do to bring jobs back into this country, but Mexico is still going to be Mexico tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks, Rob. Have a good one.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You know, he brings up several good points. One that was embedded in his comments is some of the undocumented workers don't pay any taxes at all.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do, and some of them actually have Social Security withheld from their wages,
mm-hmm.
even though they're never going to be able to collect on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take all these undocumented workers out of the economy, that's going to leave some of our programs in this country less funded than they are now, because we have people who are paying into Social Security who mm-hmm. will never be allowed to collect on their contributions.
Well, a lot of that makes it complex, too, because you look at if you go the other direction and say, let's legitimize everybody, let's you know, amnesty and the whole bit. Yeah, you got people paying in, but you've got a whole new crop of people that are going to qualify for various entitlements and things like that. And what does that do to the program? I don't have the answers. I don't know what it would do to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what makes the whole thing so terribly complex.
I'm thinking we're discovering why our country's doing nothing.
Could
because
very well be.
It's really complex and there's a lot of special interests out there.
I would say that job one, though, is secure the border. Something we're not doing today, something we haven't done for a long time. If we can do that, that would at least start the process. The program is Lawrence and Taylor. It's 590 WKZO. I'm Jeremy Lawrence. He's Roger Taylor. And, of course, we have
Michael, the hairless wonder producer.
I'm not completely hairless.
Yeah, you left a little in front. What is that little part here right from the middle over?
This
yeah.
part? I
yeah.
have no idea.
Is that yeah. kind of like a widow's peak or something like
yeah.
that?
I don't know
oh, yeah.
No, you left hair there. It's odd looking.
Well, I'm not to blame for that.
I'd like you to bring a note from your girlfriend in the future as to what she thought of this new. It's like you've got a mohawk that runs amok.
Well, I'll have her sign off on that note.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And if you'd like to write a letter to Roger about his hair insults of our producer, send it to Roger, care of this station.
Yeah, anyway. Roger.Taylor at WKZO.com.
There you go.
All now right. your email box is going to be flooded.
There you go. It's flooded with all of Michael's fans.
Yes.
All three of them.
Yeah. Both of them will send me an email and...
So, but, you know, you keep talking about, and you talk about the immigration problem, and that's why you really can't look at it from one side or the other side. It's not as simple as what people are saying. You know, some people say on the right, just, well, just enforce it, and that's it. And it's not as simple as just, well, just let everybody in. Because there's an awful lot of things that this affects. And there's a ton of things that we have to look at. As we look at this, that's why I think you don't do it in the shadow of an election.
Yeah.
You just have to remove this. Probably the best time to do it, if we were willing to wait this long, is wait until after 2016. Because then you don't have the presidential election on top of you. You got new leadership. You got everything set up there. Now, I don't know that it can wait that long.
Oh, but we'll already be planning for the next presidential
oh, we always
election.
Do.
I mean, how many times has Mitt Romney said, I'm not running?
And I think it could be described as no, 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 no.
Yeah, we'll hear right after the 2016 election's over. 1 minute later, we'll find out who's running in 2020.
Yeah, that, you know, that's why I'm not paying any attention to Hillary Clinton or Chris Christie's issues.
Mm-hmm.
None of that matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That election is 3 years off. We've got an election coming up in a few months that's important. We ought not be distracted, squirrel, by who's running for president next presidential election.
Well, and it's a total different problem for another day when we're closer to it. But if you think about the way that they've extended primaries.
Think
about the history, you know, when Lyndon Johnson was in office and that kind of thing. I mean, they didn't know until convention or just right before it who it was that was going to be representing each party. Now, they pretty much have it decided by about, the end of January.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It feels like, and all these states are going, no, we're going to move it up in front of these guys. Well, no, we're going to move it up in front of these guys.
Because we can bring those dollars to our state. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is an economic development tool.
Oh, no,
we're going to have the first primary. Spend your dollars with us.
So, I think it's all made even more complex with the whole idea of elections. But that's why I think, you know, you try and make this issue partisan, and let's face it, both parties are doing it. It's time to say, you know what? It's not a partisan issue. It's an American issue. Let's solve it together. Sadly, there's nobody really standing up saying that of either party.
Yeah. Yeah. For all sorts of sundry reasons, there's a big constituency right now for doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And until we deal with that problem, we're not going to have solutions. Mm-hmm.
If we could have just one brave person in Congress stand up and say, I'm going to fight for this issue and I'm going to, you know, do something to solve it, maybe others would join right along with them.
Maybe.
Interesting idea.
But it's an election year.
Yes, I know.
Well, we got to run, but you know what? Good news. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully you will as well.
Have a good day.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.